Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you. It is wonderful to see you here. We are so glad you're here. We can't say that strongly enough. It's such a delight to see so many people ready to learn how to teach. Please come fill these front chairs. Those of you that are sitting in the back, we would love to have you up here a little closer. We thought maybe it would be jammed, but thank you. So I have told my students before that it would be impossible for me to teach if I didn't have students. You could be the best teacher that you wanted to be, but you're not any good if you don't have students. And so I see this as kind of the same way. You all are very important to the success of this, and we're really glad you're here. Don't forget that. We're really glad you're here. You're here to learn about teaching, of course. And you might look at the three of us here that are in charge of these classes and say, well, those guys must have all the answers. Sorry, but if you think that, you're going to be disappointed. But we are here to help and to encourage. And we want you to be stretched. We want you to be inspired. We want you to leave here ready to go and teach, whether you've taught before or not. How many of you will be teaching for the first time this coming school year? Oh, wonderful. That's just great. Is there anybody in here that has taught more than 5 years? Okay, good. Glad to see so many new people. Now, like I said, you have a big part to play in this, and I don't know if you've looked over the program very much or not. There's lots of interesting topics. There's lots of interesting speakers. We would recommend that, if possible, you come to each of these classes, just because it gives us a chance to connect with you better, and it'll give you some continuity, and then you don't have to make a decision on which class you're going to go to. You can just always come to this one. And you will get benefit from that, too, because as we go through these classes, you're going to hear lots of overlap, just because that's the way it's going to be, and you'll hear it again and again and again, and that helps to rivet it in your mind. Another thing at the beginning that I want to just impress on you is the immensity of this job that you have taken on. You have taken on a job that is so big, it's scary. Now, I don't say that to scare you. I don't want to scare you, but I just want us to be gripped by that. And can somebody tell me, in the devotions this morning, one of Wendell's points, he said, it's good to feel what? Anybody remember what the word was?
Unable.
That was very close. Incapable. Thank you. That's the way you're going to feel. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but you're going to feel incapable. But that's a good thing, because we serve a God that is capable, and you can't do it alone. You're going to hear that lots this week, but just remember that. Think about the fact that you are going to be in charge of children that have eternal souls. And you will be held responsible for those eternal souls to some degree or another. And just let that grip you and let that determine how you live and how you act. God can work miracles through you in the lives of your students. Just remember that. So, the plan for our classes. If you've looked at your program, you will know this already, but I'm going to go over it with you here. Today we're going to have, this session, we're going to have just an introduction to the course, along with a few other things which I'll share in a minute. Later today, Brother Jonah, if you raise your hand, that's Jonah. I'll let him tell you about himself in a little bit, but he's here to help, and Derek is the other one that's helping us with this class. So, later today, Brother Jonah will be sharing a topic on pre-sources. And that's going to just be talking about things that will be helpful to you to have in your teaching. And he may cover lots of other things too. Derek will be also sharing today about preparation. Tomorrow, I will be sharing a topic about procedures to use in the classroom. And Brother Jonah will be sharing about presentation. On Thursday, Derek will be sharing about pitfalls. And then all three of us will be helping to share just sort of a book report about the book, The Seven Laws of Teaching. And then on the last morning, we will have a simulated class where you'll get to watch two of us teach. And you can critique us or see what you like, see what you don't like. So that will be planned for Friday morning. Before we go further, I'd like to see a raise of hands if you know what curriculum you're going to be teaching in your schools. Will anybody, does anyone know, will you be teaching completely CLE in your school? Do you know that? Okay. What about completely Rod and Staff? Anybody have that situation? Okay. What about a mixture of those two, CLE and Rod and Staff? Okay. That's looks good. It doesn't matter which curriculum you're using. We just like to know that. And there's it's good to, gives us more information to go on when we're talking with you about it. We are here to give you resources for the coming school year, and those resources will include lots of things. It will be lots of talking and things you can write down. We're also here to answer questions. If you have questions, of course, we want to answer them as best we can. We may not have lots and lots of time during our sessions here in the classroom to answer questions, and so I would encourage you, especially at meal times, that's a good time to ask questions, and please don't be afraid to come to us and ask if you want to talk about something. We would be delighted to talk with you. You will feel overwhelmed just because of the immensity of what you're doing and because of the amount of information that you're going to get here, not just in these classes, but I always feel this way when I come to meetings like this. It's just like lots of stuff, and the way Brother Jonathan Erb describes it is trying to drink from a fire hydrant. It's just kind of like, yeah, you can imagine how that would feel. But that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. So I already mentioned that one way that you can help to make this a success is to come to the classes and taking notes. Of course, I see lots of pens and papers in here. That's a wonderful thing. And we will be giving out some handouts along the way, too, that can be helpful in taking notes and remembering what was shared. And ask questions. There is no such thing as a dumb question. Okay, there's no such thing as a dumb question. So don't be afraid to ask. We want to answer them as we can. Again, I just want to re-emphasize, we're really glad you're here, and we are looking forward to sharing these classes with you. Please pray for us. Please pray for yourselves as we go into this, and we just want God's Spirit to lead us and show us what to say and show you what to ask, and it will be a wonderful experience. In this session, we're going to start by telling you a little bit about ourselves. We're going to each give a short introduction, and then Brother Jonah will be sharing a short topic called The Privilege of Teaching. After that, Brother Derek will take charge, and we're going to have a special time of prayer for you all as new teachers, and then he will close the session after we're finished with that prayer. So, I don't know how many of you know me. I know a few of you, but not all of you. My name is Conrad John Smucker, and May 23 of 1992 is when I arrived in this world at a hospital in Lebanon, Oregon, which isn't very far from here. At that time, my dad was teaching school at the Lake Creek Mennonite School, and unfortunately for him, I was born on the precise day of the school program, and so my dad had to have a very kind other man lead the school program for him because his firstborn son decided to make his appearance on that day. So, needless to say, some people that were a lot or that remember that, they still remember my birthday because of that, or they remember kind of when I was born. Oh yeah, you were born on the day of the school program. I was born in Oregon, but I did not end up living very much of my life there. When I was about 3, my family moved to South Boston, Virginia. My dad taught school there for 5 years. From there, we lived for just a little bit in Pennsylvania. And then in July of 2001, my family moved to the country of Poland in Europe. and I was 9 when we moved over there. We were there for about 10.5 years, and then in December of 2011 we moved back to the States. It's been about 10 years ago, actually. I began teaching at the Pine Grove Mennonite School in northeastern Washington in 2012, fall of 2012, and I've been teaching there ever since. But unfortunately, I will not be planning to teach there next year. My replacement is here in this class, so glad for that. Next spring, Lord willing, my wife and I are planning on moving to Bangladesh to serve there, to begin a new phase of our lives. I enjoy lots of things: music, reading, hiking, swimming, flying, and airplanes, foreign missions, children, traveling, being with my family, being with friends and making new friends, sports, being outside. That's a short list that could be made a lot longer. I love teaching, and I love building relationships with my students. It's relationships that can last a lifetime, and one of my former students is here in this class, so that's also very special. My parents' names are John and Laura. They are both here, along with my little sister, Amanda. I have 2 younger brothers and 2 younger sisters. We had 4 in the family for quite a long time, and then when my youngest sister was 13, my mom had another baby, and that's Amanda. She's 9, or she will be 9 this year, and she, of course, changed our family in many, many ways, but we can't imagine how our family would be without her. March 20 of this year marked a life-changing experience when I married my beautiful wife, Rhonda, and I'm really thankful that she can be here with me today. A random fact about me that you may or may not know: I love eating cold cereal, and one of my favorites is Lucky Charms. Derek.
I want to say welcome as well to each one that's here. It's exciting to see so many willing volunteers, or maybe you weren't so willing, I don't know. But it's so good to see so many volunteers to join this honorable profession. My name, as you heard, is Derek Overholt. I grew up in Tennessee, where I was fortunate to attend only one school from kindergarten all the way through high school. That's pretty unusual. It was a blessing for me to have just one school and not be changing schools a lot. All of my subjects would have been CLE, the old CLE. I'm thankful that CLE has improved a lot since then. It is much better now than it was. I had to do some extra work when I started teaching. We moved to Dixon, Tennessee when I was 18 years old. I substituted one day a week for part of the year at our new one-room school, and when I was 21, I began teaching grades 4 through 8 at our school, which, conveniently or not, was located in our shop just outside our house. So I was able to go home for a snack or a nap or something right after school, which is maybe not so good or good, depending on your view. We soon relocated to our new school there, Lighthouse Mennonite School in Van Leer, Tennessee, where I taught for 4 years. The following year, I substituted a little bit for Verlon Garber. He's here. He's from Deer Lodge, Tennessee. He's also teaching. I substituted for him while he went on his honeymoon. And I stayed at his parents' place, where I gained a new appreciation for the Garbers, because then later, that few months later, at Bible school, I met a very beautiful young lady who was a cousin of his, and I was teaching music there, and she was in her 4th year of teaching school as well, and she was in my class. Anyone want to guess who my best student was? Anyway, needless to say, I moved to Texas and married Evelina Garber, now Overholt, on April 15, 2016, about 14 months later. After a wonderful, stress-free year of marital bliss, I agreed to teach school at Living Word School in Commerce, Texas, and I've taught there the last 4 years. We now have 3 children: Alex Sean, age 4, Megan Rain, age 2, and Alana Joy, age 2 months. We're very glad to be here. I thought for a while we weren't going to be able to make it. Our flight was canceled out of Dallas, and we were in the airport from about 9 o'clock in the morning till we finally left about 5:30 in the evening. Flight was canceled twice, and we went through security twice and through the ticketing twice. And I thought for a while we're going to have to just cancel and let Joan and Connor take it over. But anyway, I am not planning to teach this coming year. I guess that's kind of discouraging news for if there's two of us that aren't. Due to changes in the school and the stage my family's in right now, my wife and I both felt God leading us in a different direction for now. But our hearts are still very much involved in school. I love school, I love teaching, and I want to continue to help and be involved in Christian education. And also very glad that the board was able to find some good volunteers to take my place and the other teachers' place as well. One of the things we might be involved in is Christian Light has asked that we help at some of the homeschool conventions in Texas, showing books and things like that. We're very excited about that. And also, I guess I'm a first-year teacher as well. This is my first year teaching the novice teacher track. So maybe I'm getting a little feel for some of what you're feeling now. Some of the nervousness you're probably feeling, I'm feeling now. I'm also starting a portable deck business where I hope to work with my son Alec, and I'm looking forward to that, working at home. My wife and I love to sing. That's one of our favorite things to do. I've been teaching music in Bible school for the past 10 years and directing chorus for the past 6 years. And I just now realize there's someone in here that wrote a song we sang just last year. Maybe it was the year before last. And I didn't recognize you at first, but now I see who you are. So anyway, one of our favorite pastimes is learning new songs. We love learning new songs. Another one, a random fact about me, you might say, is I love playing chess. It always helps me to relax after a stressful day.
Good morning. Who am I? I'm a teacher. I taught 15 full terms, substituted extensively during a 3-year sabbatical. I have a very feminine family, a wife and 4 daughters. We live in a sprawling timber house beside a rippling brook and a nice pond in Northern California. My school days began in a public school where I learned to read, study, and fight. One Wednesday, a student, much larger than I, knocked me to the turf and began kicking the boo-hoo out of me. While I gasped for breath, he began kicking me in the mouth. So I chomped down on his chubby ankle, and my attacker fled, looking for pity. That evening, the sheriff was waiting for me when our family returned from prayer meeting. My battered face helped verify my side of the story, but the other boy's parents wanted me tested for rabies anyway. The sheriff declined. My adjustments to a Mennonite church school during the 3rd grade were rather rough. Following a game in which I misunderstood the rules, the other students surrounded me and, very Christ-like, they began chanting, "Cheater! Cheater! Cheater!" After which, being the mature 3rd grader that I was, I ran away and hid in a bush. I'll never forget my shepherdess of a teacher who left the 99 in the classroom to seek for the one little lost lamb. She pulled me out of that bush and held me close while I sobbed my heart out. I'm the first-year teacher who was warned by one of the brethren about wild hogs roaming the neighborhood, spreading disease, and tearing up our school playground at night. Only a few days later, I spied 2 vicious beasts lurking at the edge of the school property. As it was deer season, I promptly left my 2 teachers shivering in fright as I ran to my truck, shouldered my gun, and blew the 2 menaces away. My feelings of elation lasted through the night and into the next morning, up until the time that the phone rang and the neighbor man asked me, "Have you seen my 2 pigs I've been raising?"
They seem to have escaped yesterday.
I am the experienced teacher, quote unquote, who built a powerful electromagnet with my fourth graders last year. When we finally tested it, I instructed Alex, flip the switch until the electromagnet lifts the wrench, and then turn it back off. Quinn, you be ready to place something heavier underneath it after we've done that. Are you ready? Both boys nodded their comprehension. Holding the magnet above the wrench, I raised my eyebrows. Are you ready? For sure? Alex flipped the switch. Immediately the wrench leaped into the air and slammed up against our wonderful electromagnet. A split second later, the circuit overloaded and the electromagnet caught on fire. All right, shut it off, I yelped as I dropped the smoldering ball onto the class table, which is very similar to this one. But I was too late. The electromagnet flaming on the table continued to smoke as my boys stampeded out of the classroom. Alex exited first without so much as a backward glance. Quinn stopped at the door just long enough to yell back at me, "That switch is still on!" I stopped to subdue the flames long enough to yank the cord, and by the time I smothered the conflagration, the stench of scorched wires and oozing rubber was nearly overpowering, but we all agreed that that electromagnet performed wonderfully while it worked. I'm just a man who's doing the best he can to lead others to Christ, a man who wants to point you to the Master Teacher, to lift up his work, his methods, and his love for his students. His humility in doing the will of the Father. He can stand beside you during this following school year. I can't. However, I am willing, along with Conrad and Derek's help, to do my very best to equip you to be used by him. I'm going to repeat something Conrad already said, but I don't apologize for doing that. Please feel free to ask us questions between sessions at mealtimes and even after this institute. If you don't have our phone numbers, get them. All right. We're on call 24/7. Anyway, especially Derek and I, we've got children. Okay? We are willing to listen. We may not have your answers, but with the good Lord's help, we'll do the best we can to help you. All right. The privilege of teaching, kind of, and Derek, if you wouldn't mind, I do have a little handout for this one. Welcome to the art of teaching. Once upon a time, long, long ago, beside a small sparkling lake, there lived a teacher. His only textbook was the Word of God. His classrooms varied from street sides to the seaside to mountain sides. From quiet dinner tables to noisy temples to eerie graveyards. From cornfields to community wells to dusty trails. His tools were flowers, seeds, trees, pigs, sheep, and wolves, bread, fish, and wine. He changed the world in 3 years. I'm not asking you to change the world. But do you have a question for you? Was Jesus a teacher or a preacher? How about if I give you the definition of those two things, and then you see if you can figure it out. So, A teacher is someone who instructs through a personal relationship with their listeners. This is something we're going to try to do. This is why we want you to come to all of these if you can, because it will allow us to get to know you. And by getting to know you, we can better instruct you. A preacher is one who shares a message with a group without a relationship with the people in the group. For example, an evangelist could show up in your community and preach to you without having any clue who you are, what your background is, and so on. So was Jesus a preacher or a teacher?
A teacher.
You're right for the vast majority. The vast majority of Jesus' teachings, if you look at the people he was talking to and so on, are very personal. Think about Jesus with Nicodemus. Jesus with his 12 disciples. Or apostles, I should say. Small groups of people. Jesus did also preach, though. For example, the Sermon on the Mount was given to a very large group. So he was both. But overall, I would say that Jesus was a teacher. He taught very much through his contact with people, and I trust he will be teaching through his contact with you in this coming year. Our takeaway for this short presentation is that teaching is imitating Christ. Teaching is a rewarding privilege. Not everyone gets to do it. Okay? You probably have friends who are going to go on in their drudgery of life building more mini barns. Or maybe they are working at other bakeries or who knows what else. Those are important things, and I do not want to minimize mini barns and bakeries. I mean, people need places to put their stuff and they have to eat, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't get to teach them. So on. But not everyone gets to teach. This is a privilege. It's kind of like having a driver's license. Not everyone gets to have one or should have one. The first reason that teaching is a rewarding privilege is because it develops talents. Think about the parable of the talents. We had three people in that parable. Jesus talked about the one person who had five talents. One who had two talents or three talents? Two. And one person who had only one. Was there anything wrong with that? No, there wasn't. But the one who got judged was the one who did not get any more talents. I'm going to tell you that one of the blessings of teaching is that you are going to develop more talents. I can guarantee that. If you teach for a full year, you will end the year with new talents that you did not have. For example, when I started teaching, I think it would not be stretching the truth to say that I could not spell. I still can remember spelling tomorrow the wrong way several times during my first year, and my students corrected me. Doesn't have two M's. Okay. And so on. I can spell tomorrow now. It's okay. It's a new talent that I got. I learned some things about teaching music. Derek talks about teaching music. I love music as well. I did not know how to beat time when I started teaching school. And I can at least pass for someone who knows how to beat time now. During this institute, do not only listen to the people talking, and I'm not only referring to in here, please pay attention to how they are doing it. Okay, there are some excellent teachers here. You can learn, you can develop talents from them by watching how they are teaching. So learn not only from what we are saying, but also from what we are doing. In developing talents, how many of you think you have at least one talent? Good. Even that one talent that you have is going to get bigger. All right? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 7, that God will give you grace according to measure. Now, and it says the measure of Christ. What kind of scoop does Christ use when he's measuring things? Teaspoon? Tablespoon? Is it one of those great big ones like they have on the front of these articulated loaders where you can scoop about a ton of gravel at a time? I don't know for sure. But it's grace according to the measure of Christ. The Bible even tells us how you can build new talents. In 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, we add to our faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, charity. And here's the good part. At the end of that, it says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God. Fruitful in the knowledge of God. Producing fruit. Jesus said, by the fruits ye shall know them. Your students will know you as much by the things that you do as by the things that you say. And in your talents, growing in Christ, growing in becoming more like Him, will make you become a fruitful person. How many of you think you have more than one talent? I think you do, in fact. Regardless how many talents you have, I can guarantee you that teaching will make you use all of them. All right? You will not have talents that are unneeded in the classroom. James 3, verse 17 says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be treated, full of, without partiality, without hypocrisy, full of mercy and good fruits. Don't try to be Brother Conrad or Derek or Steve or any of the other speakers you see here. God made you for your students. Okay, I want you convinced of that. There is a group of children I trust for each of you. And God planned, probably 20 years ago, that He's going to take you and He's going to put you in front of these little children. And you are the right person. Okay? I want you totally convinced that that's what God wanted. And that's what God is planning to do. Be yourself. Tell your students your story. You want to get their attention, tell them, when I was in school, something happened. For example, when I was in school, we used to have a mouse problem in the classroom. And you can imagine how interesting that got at times. Don't compare yourself with other teachers, even your co-teachers or others. It's not wise. It might make you feel more important or less important. It's just simply a bad thing to do. Don't do any comparing. Rather, give your very best for God. God, once again, has chosen you for your students. And all He asks is that you give your very best to those children that they know. There's one thing I must tell you about children, and that is that you can't fool them. That's the thing about you can fool all the people all the time, you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. You can't fool children. They know. They know if your heart's in your classroom or if you'd rather be somewhere else. And for the sake of the work of God, do your best. Your best, not someone else's best. And just because you're doing better than someone else doesn't mean you should let up. Do your best for God. The second point. Teaching depends on God. How many of you are supposed to be teaching in a Christian school? Well, that's pretty much a unanimous vote. I like that. That's good. I'd like to rearrange some letters up here. We have the word Christian school. What happens if we erase that I and A and scoot the I over here and put the A over here, and now we have a phrase that is, how about if you all read that for me?
Christian school.
I have a question.
Are your students Christians?
How many of you think that all of your students are Christians? Nobody. Okay. Are your books Christians?
Well, they're Bible-based books, right?
We have Bibles in the school, but are the books Christians?
Well, how is Christ going to get into your school? How's this going to be a Christian school? Who's the Christian at your school? You are. I am. If you want to be in a Christian school, if you want Christ to be in your school, Christ is going to have to be in your heart. You're going to be the one carrying Christ into the school. Right?
And I hate to shake your confidence in Christian homes. I don't want to do that too badly, but just because children come from a Christian home does not mean that they act like Christians in the classroom. If you want Christ in your schoolroom, he's going to have to come with you. Don't depend on your school children or your books to bring Christ into the room. Don't get too worried about that. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And I'll give rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." One of the things that teachers need a lot of, and that is rest. You will find it is difficult to be at rest in the classroom and out of the classroom. There are situations you are going to face that you never experienced before in your life. You will deal with parents who don't understand you, school boards who may not quite be as easy to get along with as you think Christian people ought to be. And that's life. And it's okay. And your relationship with Christ is what you need to depend on to help you deal with those situations. Depending on God for Jesus' example, Jesus wants you to follow him. He was a teacher. And there is so much you can learn from his teaching. I'm not done learning from it yet. In fact, just recently I was studying the story of the Good Samaritan and I learned something new. Do you know how many times I've read that story and heard other people talk about the Good Samaritan? And after 40-some years, you can guess how many. I finally get a new revelation about the Good Samaritan. We won't get done learning from Jesus' teaching. So if you're not sure how to do something, look at the way he did it. Or ask him. Once again, he's someone who can always be there. For daily wisdom, we need wisdom every day. Schoolrooms are scary places for grown-ups. I tremble at the thought of walking into my classroom on a daily basis. I didn't want to go there alone. There are too many bad things that can happen to me or to my students. Don't try walking in your classroom without talking to the good Lord first. Ask him for wisdom every single day. You know, when Solomon became king, here he was following his father David, this wonderful king who was a man after God's own heart, someone we all look up to, I hope. And Solomon had studied under him, learned, been trained to become the next king, and he becomes the king, and God comes to him. Actually, let me back up. And he has this opportunity to talk to God. And he comes to God and he basically says four things. This is from 1 Kings 3, verses 7 through 9. He says, "I am but a child." Most likely Solomon was probably at least 30, I think, around this time. Somewhere in that age. Right? "I'm but a child." What attitude is that? I hope you feel this. I do, still. "I'm but a child." This attitude means that I feel what about myself? We already talked about this a little bit here. I feel confident in my own ability. Yeah. I feel small, right? Children feel small. Willing to admit to the fact that I can't do something. I'm but a child. That was Solomon's first statement. Keep that concept in your mind. I'm but a child. I'm not so important. My school could probably do just fine without me. They really could. I'm just a child. I'm just someone in God's hands. His next request was, give me an understanding heart. I shortened that to give me wisdom. We need daily wisdom. If you don't believe me, wait till one of your students walks up and says, we were in the bathroom and Johnny shoved my face into the sink. And Johnny comes out and says, no, he splashed water in my face. And there you go. You got two people telling you. Teaching takes a lot of wisdom. You need it every single day. Give me wisdom. The next thing he said, that I may discern, or that I may understand. Solomon wanted not to, he doesn't say that I may command these people. He didn't say that I may bring into subjection these people. He did not say that I may even lead these people. He said, I may understand them. Something interesting about people is there aren't any two that are alike. And some of them are different from one day to the next. This is work. This is hard. And this takes a lot of talking to God that I can understand. Children can be very difficult to understand at times. We need to ask God for help in that. The very last thing he said, this thy so great a people. I shortened that to thy people. I'm tempted often to think of my students as my students. And you may also be. But they're not. They're God's students. The last thing, teaching dispels ignorance. The most exciting part of teaching is when the lights come on in your students' minds. Jesus, in Luke 24, verse 45, it says, then opened he their understanding. This is the fun part of teaching. This is when it becomes a privilege. This is better than the paycheck. And you're going to have to find other motivation than the paycheck, because chances are it's not big enough to motivate you to keep teaching. So this, you're going to have to get to where you can live on this wonderful experience of turning the lights on for someone else. Preparing your students to be useful people in the kingdom of God. Takeaway again, teaching is imitating Christ.
Thank you, Jenna. That was very good. Are you Christ in your classroom? If you're not, then it won't be a Christian school, very likely. Is there anyone here that is not a first-year teacher? Like, are all of you, or is there anyone that has actually taught a full year of school before? Okay, one, two, three, maybe? Not very many. Most of you are new. I guess that's probably different from the previous years, or is it about the same? Okay.
If I'm right,
okay.
They're still pretty.
Okay, all right. Well, we'd like to close this session with just a prayer blessing for you. It's a tough job, but yet there's many, many privileges and many blessings as well that come with the job. But you can't do it alone. You have to have it with Christ's help. So why don't all of the first-year teachers just stand, and I will pray, and we'll ask God to give you wisdom for this year. Let's stand. Dear God, I just thank you again for each one here today just that has said yes to your call for their lives. Dear God, just bless them for answering that call, for sacrificing their time, their money, their talents, and giving them over to you and allowing you to use them to bless many others and build the church. Dear God, just please be there for them in those days when they don't know what to do, when the day didn't go like they planned, just give them wisdom, give them understanding, mm-hmm. give them an understanding heart that they can deal wisely with children that will end up being building the church. Dear God, bless them as they relate to the struggling student in their classroom. Just help them to know how to relate with kindness and gentleness with that student and be able to help that student. Bless them as they relate to the gifted student. Help them to be able to motivate them and give them just give them enough work to make them to challenge them. Be with them as they deal with the mischievous student and figuring out when they're saying the truth and when they're not, and being able to love them anyway, even when you don't feel like loving them. Dear God, give them humility as they face this job. Help them to not think that they can do it on their own, but that they can depend on you for help. Give them courage to stand up for what is right in spite of what others might think. Give them wisdom, dear God, to deal wisely with each decision that they will face. Dear God, just bless them in a special way. Help them this week, especially as they learn and hear many, many, many nuggets of wisdom. Just pray that you could help them to remember these things as they teach throughout the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, or you may be dismissed.